Kintsugi Heroes acknowledges funding and was made possible with support from the Community Broadcasting Foundation. Find out more at cbf.org.au.
Welcome to the Kintsugi Heroes podcast, where we share inspirational stories of everyday people going through different challenges and how they overcome them. Please be aware that the story you're about to hear may have moments of deeply felt emotions and personal experiences. If anything you hear has a triggering effect, please reach out to someone who can help keep you safe. If you love this conversation, we'd love you to like and share it with your friends so we can continue to share more inspiration and hope to as many people as possible. Now, listen up for our next hero story. This episode of Kintsugi is with Amira McCune. She was born to teenage parents and by the age of 8 had experienced death in the family. It was earth-shattering at the age of 8. It set her on a course of figuring out, you know, where her course was in the family. And there was a lot of financial hardship and difficulty, which eventually led her to become a bookkeeper and help people manage money. But it also taught her lessons. And, you know, there was this systemic financial hardships and mental health challenges throughout her family that she is determined to eradicate in her line with her own children. And she tells her story with such grace and simplicity. It just shows that everybody could be touched by these things that challenge us. And, you know, like many others, Amira now has a passion for helping others to overcome this. And she's just a delightful woman. She's brought a lot to this conversation from her heart. And she has an inner belief that everybody can find joy and peace in their journey, no matter what they're experiencing. So enjoy this one with Amira McCune. Well, hello, Amira, and welcome to Kintsugi Heroes. It is such a pleasure to have you. How are you today?
I'm good. And how about you?
I am fabulous because I get to hear from you. And I always love talking to people and hearing their stories and, you know, the journeys. People amaze me every day. I am very grateful that I get to sit in this seat and meet such beautiful people. And I just want to say thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for having me. I do appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. Well, this is about you. So I'm going to ask you to take over the mic, so to speak, even though we're at a distance, and take us back to the beginning of your story. Whereabouts does it begin? And
yeah, I guess it begins when I'm about 4 or 5 years old. And unfortunately, I had a couple of uncles who passed away when I was very young. And the one that kind of impacted me the most, and I guess that's the one that my story really starts, like it really ramps up, is my favorite uncle was 19 years old. And they'd had quite a difficult upbringing, and their father had recently passed away at the age of 44. So unfortunately, one day I opened the door to the police and they had come to tell us that he had taken his life. And I do remember seeing them there, and still after decades, it still gets me. They'd asked me to get my mother. And she was about 7 months pregnant with my brother. This particular event has shaped my family's life ever since. And it's funny, I was actually on a cruise recently with my father, which I might talk about a bit later. I mean, that sounds all nice, right? But actually there's some complications with that. So, he actually was asking me to speak for him because he can't talk about these things that have happened with his family because they are so upsetting. So that was kind of the beginning of it. My other uncle, who was a bit older than him, had actually drowned while being on an activity. He had an intellectual disability, and so that happened as well. And then just a couple of years later, my 24-year-old auntie died. Well, I found out recently. Well, we got told that she had a heart attack, but in fact, she actually OD'd. And my 4-year-old cousin found her. And so you can imagine that's had a massive impact on our family as well. But it was interesting that that day was the day, I think, that I really shut down. And I remember being up in this really hot room upstairs and them telling me that this had happened. And I just said, I can't do this anymore. And so I think ever since then, I was really quite tried to avoid emotion as much as possible because it was just too painful. So I guess what my story really is about is, you know, recovering from all of that with all the ongoing trauma and this family legacy, unfortunately, of mental illness and disability. You know, my commitment to changing our story so that, you know, especially with my children, that this is not something that they will continue having the same impact that it has for all of us at this point, you know. So, unfortunately, just not long after that, my other auntie also at 34 refused treatment and she also passed away. And so what I've come to realize is I have 4 sets of cousins and all of them have lost a parent while they were children. And so while my life wasn't a barrel of laughs, that's for sure, but both of my parents are alive. We certainly have some challenges, difficulties, but as I said to my husband yesterday, at least I still have the opportunity to change something if it can be changed, because they are both still here. But my other cousins never had that opportunity. So in a strange way, I feel kind of grateful, you know, despite all this, craziness that's surrounded us for and continued to surround us. But, yeah, it definitely has had a lasting impact on our family and the way that we've seen the world.
Wow. That's devastating. How old were you? You said, was it 4 or 5 when the first uncle died?
Yeah, I would have been 5.
So I take it your family was close, as in you were close with your cousins and uncles and aunts? And
I was close with my aunties and uncles, yes. Unfortunately, my father's, when his father had passed away, and just also with another level of complexity, my parents were teenagers when they had me. So, you know, all of a sudden there's my father as a teenager trying to step up and fill some parent shoes, and his mother took, you know, the super from my grandfather, which was an odd thing to have in those days, but he worked for the government and she left all of the children behind. So she just left all 5 of them behind, and I think my father was maybe 18 and the youngest one was 12. I mean, they're all gone apart from my father, and they have been for a long time. So, yeah, that makes a family get very small very fast.
The impact. What was the impact on your cousins that you witnessed growing up after the first death and then the next death? You know, like, how did it impact them? And
it's had a long-lasting impact. I mean, I wouldn't say that, and a couple of my cousins are gone now as well. I'll say probably with the cousin I'm closest to, I mean, he names his businesses after his mother. So she's the only one who actually had children in my father's family. It still has a massive impact on him today. I mean, he's named his daughter after her. She also has a disability, which we're not sure if that's actually a family sort of like genetic thing. So, yeah, it still takes its toll on him now, even though he's in his 40s. But what can you do? You know, this is it's a terrible thing to have happen to you. I'd say the one who found his mother when he was 4, he's definitely had some massive ups and downs in life. But of course, he's doing the best he can as well. It's definitely just had a massive impact. But out of that as well, there's also light to it as well. And then I guess that's what I don't want people to get stuck at. Okay, this is actually pretty tragic, right? But where do you go from there? I mean, you can't stay there if you want to have any quality of life. And I suppose that's really what I want people to take away from what I'm going to say, is that you can have all of these things happen, but you can still make the best out of life and you can find a way to move forwards. And, you know, even after all these years, it's still quite upsetting for me to think about that. So I try not to stay there too long. Sometimes if people ask me, I pull it out briefly, but then we've got to get onto something else, or otherwise, yeah, I get stuck there and I don't want to get stuck there for sure.
How did you learn that, you know, that staying there wasn't healthy and, hey, there's more to life than being stuck in the pain?
It's been a journey over decades, of course, and with many twists and turns as well. So when I was 20, I had a daughter and she actually has a disability, so she had cerebral palsy. So I've been looking after her since I was 20 years old. It's a work in progress. There's many steps to it. And because also if you think about it, life happens. So life is always, you know, it's not a linear thing, I guess. It, you know, some days are great, others not so great. There's all these challenges that can come up that aren't in your control. So there has to be some level of trust, I guess, that you can cope with the challenges as well. So that definitely helps. But in terms of, I think the biggest things that have made the difference, and this is going to sound really strange, but my daughter and I agree on this point, that what changed my destiny was probably having her and having her have this disability. So it wasn't something, she wasn't born with a disability. She actually got sick and this is what happened. And interestingly, people would often say to me, oh, that's so terrible, you know, your daughter's got a disability. I don't want to make light of the situation, but you know what? It's actually not the worst thing in the world. It is what it is. You just have to make the best of it. And she would say to you, if you asked her, and in fact, she did even just last week, she said, I think this was meant to happen. And because I had to fight for somebody, it got me out of that space where I needed to take care of somebody else. And to do that, I had to get over myself, so to speak, because who was going to do it if I didn't do it? And unfortunately with her father, he, again, more challenges. This is something that you keep bumping up against when you come from a family where this happens. And due to his gambling addiction, I was like, my gosh, this is an expensive lifestyle having a disability. You really can't manage with somebody gambling away the rent money, let alone all the other things that you need. So, you know, no disrespect to him. I've made my peace with that. He's got his own challenges in life, as we all do. But I think that need to then fight for her, to stand up and give her the best quality of life, was the thing that changed my direction. And everything really has kind of been based on that ever since, I suppose.
Sorry for the interruption. This is Ian Westmoreland, the founder of Kintsugi Heroes, and thank you for listening to this story from one of our amazing heroes. Our mission is for these stories to provide hope and inspiration to people experiencing life challenges, and to also educate the broader community on how best to provide support. If you would like to help us continue to produce more hero stories and cover more adversity themes, we would welcome all donations. These can be made via our website, kintsugiheroes.com.au. The donate function is at the bottom of the homepage. We'd also welcome any feedback. You can email me direct using ian@kintsugiheroes.com.au. Now let's get back to the story.
You mentioned that you've got two children. Yeah. So how different was it when you had your second child? Like your approach and your mindset and just everything.
Light years away from each other. So my daughter, she has cerebral palsy, and so this means that she uses a wheelchair, and she also uses a communication device to speak. But that has been quite an interesting process as well. And she uses a fancy eye gaze now. So what that means is advertisers discovered that with billboards, they could put these little cameras in and they would be able to pick up the light in people's eyes and tell where they were looking on the billboard. So then they could direct their advertising. But then they turn this sort of technology into a computer that can pick up the light in your eyes, and you can use that as a mouse, and you can use that to speak with. And then with some fancy software, you know, a whole bunch of other things. She's actually up to the model where it has little emojis that you can be quite witty with some things and actually put up your little emoji that has a little bit of an animation and stuff. So she's really quite clever at those things. That's sort of her life. She's a very outgoing person. She has bright pink hair, pink tattoos, is stubborn as. I would say she's kind of like Britney Spears of the disability world. It's like comes in the room, everyone will be like, oh, here she is. When my son is definitely more introverted, having him, I was terrified that something would happen to him because people worry when you have a child that there'll be complications or there'll be issues, but they're kind of surface level. It's only when this thing has really happened to you that you realize how real it actually is. And so the thought of it happening twice was it terrified me. So I tried to kind of distance myself there as well. But how could you? He's adorable. But he's a sporty person. So he spent 13 years of his life from 3 to 16 being a gymnast. And then he was also playing soccer, you know, swimming, playing tennis. Everybody wanted him to play their sport, but we sort of picked gymnastics and the soccer. And then he became a gymnastics coach, and then he now is an ice hockey player. And he's definitely become much more outgoing. So he's had to deal with a lot of anxiety issues. Unfortunately, the hangover from the, you know, family issues. So he's actually quite amazing in his own way, but they're very, very different people. They're 10 years difference between them. And of course, there are, again, some challenges with growing up with a sibling who has a disability that can make some issues. And then getting back to the, you know, the family mental health challenges. Unfortunately, my nieces and nephews are also not well. And I had two of them living with me, not at the same time, but one at a time. So we had them living with us. And I've got to say that the impact that they had on the family is something that we're still recovering from. My husband also at the time, just to make things extra fun, had gone off to the army, and I knew something wasn't quite right. You know, you can tell that something's not, I don't want to say the word normal, but it's just not sort of the way that you would expect it to go. And so when he managed to come back from basic training, he actually was diagnosed with mental health illness. And 3 months later, my niece was diagnosed with the very same one as well. And a couple of years later, my nephew had some traits of that as well. And so it just keeps on going. and again, I would say that apart from having my daughter, these are the challenges meant that you can either throw your hands up and go, well, I can't deal with this anymore, or you can go and educate yourself, which is what I chose to do. And I have done a few different, there's a few different things that you can do for family members. So you can educate yourself in how you can help that person better and not make things worse. Because usually with our skills, we want to make somebody fit into a little box and go, this is the way you should be able to do things. You're not doing it, so this is your problem. But it's actually a family problem. And the only way to move forwards with that is to find out what are good solutions and strategies to move past this, and not to be part of the problem as well, but to be part of the solution. And it's actually quite an interesting how much you will discover about yourself while doing those courses as well.
I love that, Amira. I hadn't really thought about it like that before. And I don't know that I've heard someone say that they've gone off and educated themselves and done courses to learn how to deal with that in their own family. Good on you. Yeah. That's really...
There is. I mean, it's amazing. Not something that many people would be well... would know about that much. But if you happen to be in the right situation with some hospitals, they're actually getting much better at that now, and they will advise you of these different resources and courses that are available to you as well. And so I kind of deep dived into all of that, ran myself a bit through the ringer doing those. Of course, I can't do one at a time. I would have to do a couple at a time, wouldn't I? Because there's a bit of an overachiever in here somewhere, even with getting well.
So what have you done to enable you to get through so much family tragedy, you know, darkness, sadness, and then, you know, your own struggles? What's brought you through it all?
The secret sauce, if there is one, is persistence. Now, it's the ability to keep going, I think. One of the commitments that I made when I was helping my niece and my husband through those initial days of their diagnosis, it was actually, I'll tell you a funny story. So there I was with this, she was a therapist, but more of a management. So they'll have like a team, and there'll be that person that sits at the top of the team coordinating everybody else. And one day she'd asked me to come in and talk to her about, you know, the family situation, because when somebody gets a diagnosis like these, they want to try to understand how this happened. And of course they want to then start delving into the family. And so at one point, going through some of the things that I shared earlier in this conversation, she says, can you just hang on a second? I need to go get more paper. So I was like, what is this? Are we like some sort of case study here? I mean, oh dear, it wasn't bad. And trust me, I haven't even really talked that much about the other side of the family. So yeah, so anyway, that's a bit entertaining. But yeah, she'd gone out to get some more paper to write some more stuff down. But at that time, I'd said I wouldn't go down with the ship. Unfortunately, that's not, it depends of our definition of going down with the ship. But some years later, it did take its toll on me, and I did actually have I guess we would call it a breakdown. And one day I was at work, and the next day I pretty much couldn't function. And so my hands were shaking. My whole body was shaking. And they said that the amount of adrenaline and cortisol that's stuck in you will make this happen. You'll get really shaky. And I never actually went back to that job. I was the manager of a disability service at the time. It was pretty hard to leave, but at the same time, at some point you need to take care of yourself. And I would say that has been the journey in the past 5 or 6 years that I've been on a journey, and I'm still on that, and I'm coming to the point where in the last few months I've just lost 14 kilos. So yeah, and the the 14 kilos I've lost, yeah, it's hard to, in a way, recognize myself at times. But I got to the point where I had to put my health as a priority. So I have a business as well, and I'm trained as a bookkeeper. So I help people around this area. But again, there's more giving, there's more trying to take care of people and support them. And it just took its toll to the point where I was so tired that I'd pretty much have to take a nap at lunchtime instead of eat lunch. And I kind of alluded earlier to going on this cruise with my father. And it's actually a strange story how that happened as well. I was helping some people go through a visualization process, and I'd done some recordings. And one of the exercises was to imagine that somebody had invited you on a cruise. And I don't know, it was just to get into the feeling. So I am very big on, I don't know if manifesting is the right word, because we're always manifesting, but more directing your manifestations and attracting the good things that you want. So, I was doing this exercise, and then 2 weeks later, my father rings and says, "Listen, I've got this cruise that I'm going on." And the person that was meant to go with him couldn't go. Did I want to go? So that was strange. But that was the catalyst then for wanting to do something about my health, because I did not want to go on this cruise feeling uncomfortable and being so tired. How was I supposed to enjoy going out? And, you know, we went to the Kimberleys and you go out in the Zodiacs and see the wildlife and whatnot. How was I going to do that when I was so exhausted that I couldn't even make it to lunchtime without taking a nap? Mm. So it really was time to then focus on myself. And, so everybody's seen me going through this process. And it's also something that's sort of come up is, you know, doing those other things and having those health checks that you need to get after being 50 years old that you some of us stubbornly do not want to deal with. And I'm like, okay, I've got to make the commitment to do that as well, because that is part of the entire process of taking care of yourself. And at the end of the day, if you really want to support other people, you have to take care of yourself. And you're not going to do that if you don't do the things that sometimes are uncomfortable. Sometimes you don't want to have to do them. Sometimes you don't want to have to make a plan for what you're going to eat and all of those kind of things. But what's the result that you get in the end from doing that? And again, with running a business. Running a business is tough. You know, it's hard. It's hard if you're exhausted. You can't offer people value when you're exhausted. You can't even offer yourself basically, you know, brush your hair or whatnot. So It definitely was a time out. And I've actually met some wonderful people along the way who have mentored me through that process. And I'm actually able to do that for people now myself.
Mentors are absolutely so important, aren't they?
They are. And I'm very grateful that, from a challenge that I've met some wonderful people. So who will support me ongoing.
That's wonderful. I'm so happy to hear that, Amira. As we come to a close, I'm just wondering if there's something like a little tidbit or something you'd like to say to someone else who's listening who might resonate with your story. Maybe they're going through something similar. And you've brought up a lot of different challenges in this. And I think for me, overall, it just gives me this sense that, you know, we all have multiple challenges and different types of challenges in our lives. But maybe there's something that you'd like to say specifically to someone who's listening who might be going through something similar. What would that be?
Yeah, I would say that it's not a solo journey. And that's probably what caused me the most grief, is that I stubbornly wanted to do everything by myself. And that is because of that disconnect that I had, that I decided when I was 8, that it was too hard to be emotionally invested with people, or just not trusting that people were still going to be there. But this really is, there are so many more resources available to people now than there was in the 70s and 80s. So, and people are much more open about talking about things, despite all challenges. This can be like financial challenges, mental health challenges, physical challenges, you know, the works, health challenges. We just have to be willing to let somebody in and let them support us so that we can work towards a better result for ourselves. And I'd say persistence and knowing that one day can be bad, that doesn't mean the day after will be bad.
That's lovely. So, so encouraging and helpful. Thank you, Amira. Thank you so much for sharing and
okay.
giving me your time and space and energy today. I'm really grateful.
Well, thank you again for having me on, and I really appreciate your time.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Kintsugi Heroes. Please like and share the show to your friends so we can get this out to even more people. If you have a story you'd like to share with us, please reach out using the contact details below. And join us next week for our next Heroes story. Until then, keep being you, and remember that we are all heroes in our own unique way.
Only when it's broken. Only when you're broken. Only when